You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Just because we haven't talked about it in a good long while on this program, for really good reasons, to be sure, there has been lots else going on in this economy. But we begin today with a data point or two. Prices, actually, of what it costs to get a 40-foot container full of stuff from Asia over here, the West Coast, to be clear. Yesterday, according to the Freightos Baltic Index, said 40-foot container would have cost $7,599 to cross the Pacific. At its high less than a year ago, $20,586.11. I don't know what the 11 cents is about. Anyway, it is getting cheaper, which is good and bad. Because you remember when all the supply chain talk was about clogged ports? Well, that hasn't gone away. The biggies like Los Angeles and Long Beach are still working to smooth things out. And the Port of Oakland, well, they've about had it with how long shipping containers are sitting there, just parked at its terminals. So it's cutting the number of days, Oakland is, that those containers can stay there from 7 to 4, and it's considering new fees for containers that just kind of hang around too long as well. And Oakland's not the only place where what is technically called vessel dwell time is on the rise. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra gets us going.
Dwell time is how long a container sits around on a ship or at a port or in front of a rail line. Zach Rogers teaches supply chain management at Colorado State.
Ports are all about turnover. So you want to have containers and inventory turning through the docks as quickly as possible.
Dwell times have jumped during the pandemic. Like at the Port of Los Angeles, they've more than doubled. One reason? Wholesalers and retailers have too much inventory, and they've been running out of warehouse space.
So they started to leave inventory and containers on the ports as sort of like ad hoc free warehousing space.
The ports didn't want that. So Gene Soroka at the Port of LA says they tried diplomacy, conversation.
Nothing moved the needle.
And then they said they were going to charge a fine, starting at $100 a day per container.
And once we announced that fine on October 25th, we saw those aging containers drop by 75%.
Now, the fine hasn't actually gone into effect yet. Apparently, the threat was enough of a financial incentive for the cargo owners to get their stuff and go. That's only possible, of course, if there's somewhere to go and some way to get there, enough trucks and rail cars. And Soroka says dwell times are rising again on the railroad that connects to the port, in part because of all the folders and marble notebooks and calculators. Do kids still use calculators? Arriving ahead of back-to-school season. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Here with your perhaps unwelcome but still very, very necessary reminder that this pandemic is not over. We may be done with it. It, however, is not done with us, which is why Eli Lilly said today it is going to supply the federal government with another 150,000 doses of its COVID antibody drug at a low, low taxpayer price of about $275 million. It is very welcome news for medical professionals who've been dealing with a whole lot of uncertainty about how long government-funded COVID therapeutics are going to last. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has that one.
Federal funding to fight the pandemic is running low, though the White House is trying to get Congress to authorize more. So doctors like Duke University's Cameron Wolf have a lot of questions about supplies of COVID therapeutics, including Lilly's bebtelovimab.
What's the supply that's going to continue to be provided by the federal government? How long will that last? How much warning do I have that this may change eventually to a commercial market?
The supply of Lilly's treatment is being watched closely now. Michigan-based pharmacist Nicholas Torney of Munson Medical Center specializes in infectious diseases. He says just a few months ago, there were multiple agents they could use to treat COVID patients.
But then the virus mutated, and now we only have bebtelovimab as the only monoclonal antibody for treatment at this point.
A pivot by Lilly and other drug makers towards selling their COVID treatments on the commercial market is a very realistic scenario, says Carrie Chan of Columbia's Business School. And she says that worries her.
These are new medications. We are years away from having cheap generic options. And so for those without insurance, it becomes inaccessible.
Some therapeutics have been hard to get even with the government paying for them, says Rob Relier, a programmer who built and runs a series of websites aimed at helping people find them in their communities.
It's scary to know that supply is not guaranteed going forward.
especially as new variants continue to emerge. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.